So here we are. It is January the 3rd, the third day of January.
That is correct.
2016.
That's correct. This is Jason Robb.
And this is Thomas Robb. And this is the Knights Party Roundtable Discussion Table or Board, whatever we call it.
Yep. Rachel is not here. She's not feeling well, but she's not here, so just Dad and I.
Yeah, but she's beyond not feeling well. She's sick.
Yeah, sick, so... But anyway, so Happy New Year. I'd like to start out. Happy New Year to everybody out there. 2016. I always, look back, think, has it been 15 years, 16 years since 2000? You know, because 2000 was a big milestone in so many people's, lives. You know?
Well, they thought the world was going to end.
Right.
You know, what did they call that?
It was going to be like the computer crash,
Yeah, but they had a name to name the but it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
all the computers were going to crash, and everything was going to fall apart. And we had people we knew in town who were supposedly computer experts, and we said, it's not maybe going to happen, it's definitely going to happen.
Definitely going to happen.
Yeah. No question about it.
It's going to be in chaos. Yeah. 6 months to a year, everything's going to be in chaos.
And then they say, of course, after the 2000 came, and all kinds of preparations done in this country, there were nothing happened, but it was interesting because they said, I think it was Italy. They said Italy made absolutely no preparations,
right?
And they didn't have any problems either.
Exactly. But anyway, it's 16 years later, 2016. So it's amazing how time just continues.
And in 2000, Jason, when 2000 came, we never would have imagined that in 8 short years we were going to have a black president.
No. I think we could imagine it. I don't think we could actually realize how quickly it came.
Yeah.
Because we knew the demographics was changing.
Right.
I mean, we knew that. But Obama, I mean, he just came out of nowhere. I mean, he was not even like a big party discussion, like in the media,
Nobody even heard of Obama until the year 2000.
Yeah, I mean, so just the idea of all of a sudden him just coming out of nowhere just shows how quickly the voters changed,
to
the voters.
And the media really promoted him. Right. Even Joe Biden said Obama's doing well because he's clean and he talks well.
Right.
They kind of claimed that was a racist comment because, well, why wouldn't he be clean?
Yeah. Just because he's black.
Yeah. Or why wouldn't he talk well?
But 16 years later, we're still dealing with the mess. And that's why, I often hear people say, oh, it's not going to last much longer. And I always think, well, yeah, it can. It can last another 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Sure.
I mean, the thing is, putting tape over tape over tape, that you can keep on doing that for a long time. I mean, it's because ultimately the government doesn't want a total collapse. Government doesn't want that.
People imply that the government, the enemy, the Jews, or the communists, whatever the case may be, want to crash the economy. No, they don't.
No, they're already getting what they want.
This is a good system for them.
Yeah, I mean, so they want to continue. They know there's going to be little bumps in the road here and there, the resistance. And so in their mind, why do we want it to collapse? Why do we want the money system collapse and the financial system collapse? And they don't want it to collapse. They want it to continue and continue because it's already succeeding for them thus far.
It's like a parasite on a dog.
Right.
You get enough parasites, they'll kill the dog. But they don't really want to kill the dog.
No.
Because when the dog dies, the parasite dies.
Right.
So they don't want to kill the dog. But because they're parasites, the dog will eventually die. And the same with the economy. They don't want to kill our economy. They love it. It's big money for them.
Oh, yeah.
But like all parasites, they're going to kill it eventually.
Right. And so anyway, first off, even though it's 2016, there are a lot. We all try to do the same thing. We always try to stay on the positive side, but just a lot of great things going to be happening in 2016. I here at the headquarters, the national office, I guess we're more blessed because we are right in the thick of things at all times. And so that's why we try to send emails out, newsletters, and put stuff on Facebook about what's going on at headquarters, because there are a lot of positive things that's going on here.
Right, and people that join the Knights and start getting our emails, they get a lot of email, a lot of information,
right,
a lot of things that we just can't get out to everybody because right. they're not on our email list,
right?
You know, so
you got to get on our email list.
You got to become a member, support this cause.
But you know, talk just a couple of things, in 2016, of course we have our Faith and Freedom Conference, this marks your 50th anniversary being in the ministry and you and mom being married, so 50 years, that's a major milestone. Continual improvements, at the Christian Revival Center, going to continue to be working on the Christian Research and Development Center. We have had some new people that's moved in around that's going to help out, with the church grounds. We've changed over our whole system regarding the internet on White Pride Radio, and that has taken a lot of time, with our administrator, and then just the volume of the media continually contacting the Knights, not only talking, not wanting interviews regarding what we as the Knights organization is doing, but what the white resistance, what's the thoughts of basically the white resistance, white people.
Yeah.
And to me, that's probably more exciting to anything, because all this time, the Knights really has worked to become the voice of the white resistance. And we see it being paid off. And that's why more and more we have that happen all the time. I mean, on a daily basis, you have the media from your local radio stations or TV stations to your national ones. Rachel was on Politico about mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago. She was on the Washington Post, I believe.
Yeah.
And I know you've done some major interviews here last several weeks. And so, they're contacting the Knights because we are the voice of the white resistance. And it wasn't dealing with Klan per se, but what the resistance is doing. And so, to me, that's exciting. And it's exciting to be part of an organization that actually is being successful and succeeding. And so, if associates are watching this, you really need to be patting yourself on the back, being part of a dynamic organization that is actually bringing hope and deliverance to our people. And I think that's something that we all need to be proud of.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about, because people are looking for, I shouldn't say an escape, but in a sense they are, because they realize that they and their children become a victim from the hatred and that have been leveled against them on a daily basis in our schools and in the media, newspapers, magazines, movies, and even our churches have totally betrayed us. They all have betrayed us. And they see this coming. And more people I talk to are expressing these same concerns. Just people I meet on the street and talk to. They are expressing these same concerns, and people are listening to this program right now. That's the reason they're listening, because they have these concerns also.
Dad, you have always said, as far as I can remember, I just turned 42, and I can remember my whole life, you and others have said that it will come to a point where the masses of people are no longer looking for another shade of gray, talking about the Republican or Democratic Party. They're looking for some organization that's outside of another shade of gray.
And well, that's kind of why Trump is doing so well.
Absolutely. And because that's what people know, that the Republican, Democrat Party have sold them out. Yeah. And when I say sold them out, I'm talking about your traditional white people out there, your white families. They've been sold out. And right. And that's why Donald Trump, even though he's not a white racialist, he says a lot of things that we echo and say the same things.
And the thing is, Donald Trump, even though he says a lot of things we say, and I mentioned he's kind of is an example of that extreme, not wanting another shade of gray, it's going to be very short term. It's right. Very short lived. And unfortunately, a lot of people who are supporting Trump thinks that when he becomes elected, our problems will be solved.
Right.
America will be saved. And from the clutches of socialism and communism and
right.
The new agenda in the social structures, they think America will be saved.
Right.
And it will not be. Obama or Trump is certainly helping to
put a little patch on it.
Put a little patch on it. And he's waking people up and right. So on. And in a sense, he's kind of like our a spokesman, although yeah. I wouldn't want him to think that.
Right.
But the point is, I'm getting at, is that even if he's elected president now, and it's a slim chance that he can be, but he could be, if he brings out enough dissatisfied white voters, he could win this next election. But in the next 4 years after that, there's going to be many, many more white people, older white people, that are going to die. So the white population is going to be decreasing over the next 4 years, definitely over the next 8 to 12 years. The baby boomers will be dying off, and there's a whole generation of non-whites who are becoming citizens, becoming voters, who has a different, totally different perspective on the liberties that we as a people cherish. And when that happens, the Republican Party will totally disappear. The Republican establishments who are now losing to Donald Trump will eventually win over the next few years because they'll bring in more of the non-Aryan, non-whites into the fold of the Republican Party as the Republican Party abandons its base, its Christian base. I don't mean people, but its Christian base, and becomes another form of the Democratic Party. And when that happens, then people really begin looking for another extreme, because all the major parties that they have been attracted to over the past decades, whether it be Republican or Democratic, will disappear, will no longer represent the values of white Christian people. And that's when it truly another color, I guess you'd call it, or another, the extreme, will emerge, because the shades of gray between Democrat and Republican Party be so closely confused and intertwined together that people really look for something totally out of the box, and the Knights Party is that answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's why, and when we talk about, and of course, Dad, when you talk about the Republican Party will fold up, no, we're talking about nationally. You may still have, pockets of Republicans, and I don't know if there's even Democrats, but I guess maybe your state levels, of so-called traditional white Americans that are voting and stuff like that.
Mainly in the heartland area.
Yeah, but it's going to be on your local level, right. Or even if it's in the House of Representatives or possibly the Senate, it's still going to be your local. But you're not going to win a national election. And that's why, Donald Trump, he may be able to be successful in winning, but 4 years from now, like you said, it's going to be even harder. There was a article that I read about a week ago, and the gist of it basically said that in order for, because they're again going on the demographics, of the population, and they're talking about that to have Donald Trump to become president. Not only he has to be successful in getting majority or a vast majority of the white current voters, okay, which I think he'll do that, But then they started cutting it down to your non-whites, blacks and Asians, your Hispanics or Mexicans, and your Jewish votes. I think those are the four that they were talking about. vast majority, 70-89% are going to vote for Hillary Clinton or some other person that's going to be running for the Democratic Party. They're going to vote for that party. You know, they're not going to vote for Donald Trump. But they said for Donald Trump, if you're going along the same statistics as 4 years ago, if Donald Trump is going to win, he has to win a majority of your new white voters, those ones that did not vote in the last election. So we have to, so basically white people that has been more or older than 18 that did not vote in the last election, not only do they have to register, but then they actually have to go out there and vote, you know? And this is not something that no one knows. All these people that do these polls and study the demographics, they know, okay, if we're going to win, this is what we have to do. Because what they're looking at is, you know, the electoral process and the electoral college, which basically is whoever wins that state, those voters, not the population, but the electoral college, those are the ones that actually vote for the president. So if you get some of your major voters like California, New York, and your eastern and western states,
Florida,
that has your vast majority of your non-whites, and they're actually picking up the states, and then you have the electoral college, which is the actual voters that go and vote for the president, you can have not as many of those states voting for, let's say, Hillary Clinton, and let's say Donald Trump wins 35 of the states, he still loses because they go on the electoral college process. And so this article was basically like, okay, Donald Trump is going to actually win, and let's say he gets 55 or 60% of the white votes, current white votes, same as 4 years ago. In order for him to actually win still, he has to get a vast majority of new white voters out there, you know. And so they even know that even though Donald Trump is, you know, has all the hoopla and saying things that all the white voters out there, they still know that that may not be enough. Because, it's a race war. I mean, it's a race war in the ballot box.
Yeah.
And that's what it really comes down to. And so all these white people out there,
all the Tea Party people are going to be dead in 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. All these white people, all these Tea Party members who think, oh, Donald Trump is our savior. Well, even if he did become president, hypothetically, okay, well, you still going to have your massive immigration coming in. And not only is it your illegal immigration you have to stop, then you have your legal immigration. They don't talk about your legal immigration.
Now, illegal is a smokescreen to cover up the legal aliens coming in.
Absolutely. They don't talk about the millions and millions of your legal immigrants from China and from Mexico and all your third world countries. They're actually being allowed to come in legally. They're on airplanes flying in. Or your visa workers like that, which is basically a stepping stone to become a citizen.
Which Ted Cruz promotes.
Right.
And so, Ted Cruz is supposed to be the conservative that everybody likes.
Yeah.
And he says a lot of things we like, but he promotes that program.
Absolutely.
He believes in that.
Because if you're like a what's called HB visa holder, you're allowed to come in here and work. Well, all that means is you're going allowed to come in here and work, which means you take away a job from an American citizen.
You bring
and,
your family.
And then you bring your family, and then you are allowed to eventually apply for citizenship, and then you're voting for against the traditional white America.
Yeah.
So people don't think about that. And so, yeah, Donald Trump could win this next election, but 4 years from now, if he is successful and win the first election, it's going to even be harder in the next year because you have 4 more years
because even if he
of
does,
millions of non-whites.
And if he does stop the illegal aliens, the legal aliens are still coming in.
They're still coming in.
You know, so...
And they're still having babies. And these programs allow you to bring all your families in. You know, so people say, okay, this HB worker, he has a visa. Well, yeah, but then you can allow your spouse come in. You have your children come in. And then when they get here...
And your mother and your father.
Your mother and father. So it's one of these things.
It's never ending after that.
Absolutely.
Family reunification. There's always a family connected.
Right.
It's like the person you say years ago, a guy I met, he said, I said, how much property you own? He said, I own 1,000 acres. This guy from Texas. He was trying to be funny. He was funny. He said, I want 1,000 acres. He said, but I want to buy a little bit more. And I said, oh, really? How much more do you want to buy? He said, I want to buy all the land touching my land. Well, it never ends.
It never ends.
Because you buy more land, touch your land, and there's more land, touch your land. So he tried to be funny. I want to buy all the land touching my land. Well, that's how it is with family reunification.
Right.
There's always a family touching some another member of the family.
Right.
So it never ends.
Absolutely. And so that's why when we see the average white family out there, they're not wanting another shade of gray. They do not want it. They're looking for outside that shade of gray. And as a result, they're going to start looking for those that are what has traditionally been called extremists.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for people that are saying, we are not going to go along with the political crowd. We're not going to go along with allowing the destruction of our country and the destruction of our race and our culture. We're not going along with it.
Yeah.
And that's why.
And again, to reemphasize, the proof of that is Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, absolutely.
He's considered the extremist. Yeah. The one outside. The outsider.
Yeah. And to us, he's a mild outsider. I mean, he's not an extreme outsider.
He's still in the big box.
Yeah, he's still in the big box, you know.
Yeah.
But that's just an example of showing that people are frustrated of the system. They're frustrated, and they're talking. And they're, I mean, there's conversations about the break of America just naturally. You know, people aren't even talking about it. You know, because they see it organically happen. You know,
yeah.
they see this balkanization.
The sheriffs in different parts of the country are balking at it too.
Absolutely.
And because all their jurisdiction, because Obama's supposed to be meeting with Loretta Lynch tomorrow,
right.
Monday, on see what he can do. What kind of executive orders he can have to enforce gun control.
Yeah. And so,
really?
Yeah. I mean, and
he had no executive orders over the
Second Amendment.
Yeah, or any of our Bill of Rights.
Right, absolutely. But that's what he's looking at. Because Texas has passed an open carry gun laws. And I think there's about 30 other states or 35 other states that allow it as well. But then you have Sheriff, is it Airpo from Arizona, who has said he doesn't care what executive action President Obama does on guns. He's not following it because he does not trump the Second Amendment.
Right.
You know? And so he can.
And other sheriffs are echoing the same thing.
So they're saying, no, we're not going. You can issue all your executive actions you want. I'm not following it. I'm not going to implement that here in my county.
Yeah.
But you're right, Dad. You have sheriffs all across the country that are doing that. And that's just a representation of people getting fed up and basically saying, we're not going along with the actions of the federal government.
Right.
You know, may not be way out there in the extreme. But they're just saying, we're not going to follow it. We're not going to implement it, you know.
It's much more talked about and much more accepted today than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, exactly.
You know, because then people couldn't see. We saw it coming.
Yeah.
We knew it was going to happen. We talked about it. You go back in our old publications, writing speeches. This is nothing new for us. This is not blindsiding us. This is not catching us by surprise. We've been aware of this and talking about this and warning people about this for years. But now it's coming upon us. And people are seeing it happen. The common, I don't, you know what I mean by common. The
right.
Normal people, the average person, see is happening now, which they did not see it 10, 15 years ago. And then the demographics are changing. And then they're giving polls that are misleading the people. They'll might show a poll and says that 45% of Americans support thus and thus or against thus, in one case it would be. But they don't break down according to race. What percentage of the 45% that maybe favor gun control? I don't know if that's an accurate figure. I'm just using that as an example. But what percentage of people who favor gun control are really white people? Or which are non-white people? And the demographics is changing all that. And here on Fox News the other day, where they're talking about the meeting that Obama is having with Loretta Lynch on Monday, supposed to be, what executive orders he can maybe implement to promote gun control. is he, the commentator made a comment, or the person being interviewed actually made a comment that what this type of discussion would never have happened 10, 15 years ago, but that the demographics have changed from even 10 years ago. And with the new immigrants coming in who do not view liberty the same way as we do.
Right.
And this is exactly right. Those third world people, they don't view liberty the way we view liberty.
Because it does not come out of them. It's not part of their blood.
No.
You know? And again, there was...
And that does, just because they get out there and wave a flag, it's, oh, Statue of Liberty, I love freedom, I love liberty, I love being a citizen of America. That doesn't mean anything.
Right, exactly. You know, they like the benefits.
Yeah.
But, well, there was an article from, I think, the Washington Times or Washington Post, or it might have been the New York Post, but anyway, they're from a legitimate magazine that basically said, the NRA, for example, has traditionally been white Christians, you know, traditionally. But the membership of the NRA is dwindling. And they're saying about the reason it's dwindling is because that majority of the people that's in the NRA historically have been your older white people.
They're dying off.
And they're dying off.
Yeah.
And as a result, yes, you still have your younger white generation, but they're dwindling because it's just a population. And non-whites traditionally are not in favor of freedoms such as carrying guns and firearms and stuff like that. And of course, the writer that was talking about this was very liberal. So he was like, ha, 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 you know, NRA and your gun lobbyists, you know, we're going to show you.
Yeah.
Basically saying that your days are numbered and that's going to reflect on decisions in your state levels because voters are not going to follow the protocol of your traditional white Americans who want to carry guns, who believes in the Second Amendment, and non-whites, they don't cherish the Second Amendment as white people. They don't cherish. They don't really care about it. You know, they look at it as guns as evil. They're a menace to society, and they're going to be in favor of programs such as Obama issuing executive orders or anyone else that goes against the Second Amendment because they don't care about it.
Right. And so they show a poll on TV and said a certain percentage of Americans favor whatever this, say, Obama's policy in certain areas. Doesn't break it down to what percentage of those people are white, what percentage are non-white. And if they would, it would open up a whole lot of eyes, but they don't show that.
Right.
It reminds me of a magazine I saw, Newsweek, I think it was. Newsweek magazine, right after Obama won the second election. The front page article of Newsweek, I think it was Newsweek magazine, said to the GOP, you're old, you're white, you're finished. And that's pretty much accurate.
Yeah.
You know, the GOP may not be finished as a party, but it will be finished as a white Christian party.
Oh, exactly. And well, the bedrock of the, well, I don't want to say the bedrock, but for years and years, traditionally, the Republican Party, you know, has been your white party, your Christian party, your party against homosexuals.
And I mean, Democrats were too, until they captured them back in the 30s.
Right. Well, you had like the Dixiecrats,
yeah,
you know, during this time, who were all hardcore, your Southerners and your Democrats, you know, that hardcore Southerners who lived in traditional America and want to keep America white and pure. That the Democratic Party and Republican Party basically just switched. I mean, they've just flopped. I mean, it really has. But now the Republican Party sees its doom. I mean, they see it, and they're not idiots. You know,
they're not to see it; they're promoting it,
right? Because they think that they're going to be able to gain power by influencing non-whites.
All they care about, because the only thing they care about is their little gang.
Exactly.
You know, they care about the country.
And so, in their mind, if we can get non-whites to start joining the Republican Party, we can take over. Hell with the issues of our moral issues. We don't care about that because everything now is just economics.
Yeah.
You know, because they've already lost on the race issue. They've already lost on your moral issues regarding homosexuality. They've already lost on those two major issues, the bedrock bedrock of any society. They've already lost on that, so now it's just, okay, it's economics, you know, less taxes, more taxes, how should we spend this, you know, where should we do that, and security, you know, national security, national defense. So it's all around economics, but as far as your social, important social issues, they've already lost on that. And so that's why they really have given up on those, on the moral issues. They really have.
Yeah.
But that's why people, you know, people out there are frustrated. They see what's happening to their country. And this is a beautiful time and a great opportunity for, you know, the Knights and other organizations, but here we're talking about the Knights, to really to capture those people and save them, to show that there are people out there that's frustrated with them. There are pockets of resistance across the United States that have basically not bowed down to Baal, you know. He's saying, no, we are not going to go along, because historically, we have never gone along with the system, you know. Right. We have never been a shade of gray. And it reminds me of a cartoon some people might have seen on Facebook, but it shows, it's like a 1950s scene, shows all these masses of people, and their mouths are dropped. And the caption says, when the masses of people realized that the paranoid person was right.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh my gosh, he was right.
Yeah.
And so it's basically the same thing. The Knights of the Ku Klux Klan for decades, you know, from the 50s and 60s have been saying, this is what's going to happen. You know, everyone's saying, you're paranoid, you're crazy, what are you talking about? And we're like, it's going to happen, you know. You allow non-whites coming to your country, they become the majority, your laws are going to change, your social issues are going to change, your morals are going to change, everything is going to change, and we see it now, and now the white people are like, oh my gosh, you're right, paranoid man.
You know, and but the thing is, the enemy hasn't necessarily even hid that from us.
No.
I've got upstairs, you've seen it numerous times, I've got upstairs, they use it quite often. In 1991 edition of a Time magazine, the front cover shows the American flag, like a multicultural coloring, with the caption, America is changing colors. That's the name of it, I believe. And it says there about the new immigrants coming into the country, that shortly after the turn of the 20th century, or 21st century, which we're in now, remember the article written in 1991,
right.
said that whites will become a minority for the first time in its history, and that everything will change, from our morals, our values, to our ethics, everything is going to change. And, you know, so if that's the case, and it's true, if we're all the same, then why are our morals changing? Why are our values changing? The point is that all these things are changing because we have a different people who are occupying the shores of America. And we've been warned about it. We have done warning. But even the enemy has boasted about it. And people just didn't get it. Even after reading it, they didn't get it.
Well, I think, they would read it and go, huh, that's interesting.
I'll be dead by then.
Yeah, I'll be dead. Or they think, well, that's interesting, like, huh, like,
the vulgar welfare.
Yeah, you know, right. But it's sometimes I think people think, they like, oh, that's interesting from the standpoint that is sometime in the future, it's not going to really affect them all any. It's not really going to probably affect their children. You know, it's like, okay, well, that's interesting. Like, well, that's kind of pessimistic, but that's in the future. I mean, there's nothing to grasp.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes it's kind of defeatist attitude, like, well, I guess not much we can do about it. And so from there, you know, the enemy say, hey, this is what's going to happen. Just accept it. You know, there's not much you can do. Just accept it and just let's keep moving on. And you have a lot of white people that are like, oh,
We'll work through it because America's always solved all our problems.
Exactly. Yeah, we're a good, strong, hearty people. We're Americans, you know, and it's like, okay, just saying those magical words changes everything.
Yeah, or is it because someone runs across the border or flies in Taiwan, they're instantly become Americans.
Right.
America is more than just a name attached to somebody living in the borders of the U.S. The Americans, as we traditionally do it, was something, was a value system that came out of a particular people, a European people, who settled in this North American continent. They were Americans by the name attached to them, but America is really, the concept of America are really European white concepts and values that exist in this country, in Canada, in New Zealand, in South Africa, in all of Europe. And as the demographics of those countries change, then the culture war begins,
right.
And the values change, and as the non-white population increases in number, then the values and the culture that we as Christian people become diminished, and then eventually be not only become diminished, then the next step is they are verbally attacked and physically assaulted.
Right.
And that's coming. It's not here yet. But the values of Christian America is, already being attacked verbally.
Right. And in some ways they are being attacked physically. It's just that you're not seeing it on your local news. But, you know, right. White people are being attacked. I mean, that's why they don't get off on the wrong exits and the wrong neighborhoods. Yeah. That's why, you know, it's kind of died down, but people that have the Confederate flags, you could go on YouTube and stuff like that, and you can see literally blacks. They saw a Confederate flag in a car, they would stop the car and they would just beat the person up.
Yeah.
So the even the physical attacks are occurring.
Right.
They're just not showing on the media, you know.
Yeah.
And white people know what's happening. That's why they don't get off on those wrong exits.
Yeah.
And don't go in those bad neighborhoods, because they know that it will happen to them because they're white and the other crowd is zombies.
You know? That's right.
Or non-whites. You know, they know that that's what they're physically are going to be facing if they get off on the wrong exits. So they know that as well. They just, when they're in the public, they have to play the game.
Yeah.
I'm not a racist, I'm not a bigot.
But we self-censor ourselves.
Absolutely.
So. And yeah, I'm not going to say blame these people entirely. If somebody has a job and has to support his family, he has to self-censor himself.
Absolutely.
But you know, at some point, we're going to get tired of looking over our shoulders, see who's listening to us.
Right.
You know, and then I get a kick out of the news media. Again, self-censoring is, we had this, 2,000 blacks stormed through that mall in Kentucky.
Right.
And what did the news say? Teens.
Teens. Or youths.
Yeah. I was joking on Facebook. That's the new code word for Negroes.
Yeah, teens. I saw that. Teens. Yeah.
Teenagers. Youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Storming the malls and stuff like that.
And you hear that all the time. Teens assault some man walking his dog home. Teens do this. Yeah. Youth do this. Juveniles.
Right.
They're always black.
They're always black. Yeah. Yeah, you're not seeing masses of white people storming the malls. You're not seeing massive white people raping and murdering people walking down the street. You're not,
teens do that.
Yeah, teens do that. What type of teens, you know? But when we see all this stuff going on, it does give me hope that there are white children out there. There are white teens out there that sees the problem, you know? And, you know, we don't know what stirs in a child as far as trying to wake them up. We don't know what God has plans in these white teenagers out there. But they're, you know, we, you know, I'm kind of a segue here. You know, with the youth corps, you know, we get a lot of white teens that see this mess, you know, in the public school system and sees it on the TV, and they see their culture changing right in front of them.
They're not seeing any hope for the future.
They don't see any hope, you know, they don't see any hope, and so they're looking for answers. They're looking for people. They're looking for organizations that are going to help maintain the status quo of Christian revival, to help maintain America as is used to be. And there are white people out there, and there's white teens out there. You know, we talk about these bully programs all the time, but really the whites are the ones that actually are being bullied more than ever. You know, these white kids out there. Because if you're a white Christian, if you're a white heterosexual, you believe in traditional America, I mean, you're just evil. You're mentally, you're ill, you're sick.
After all, this is 2016. We'll be here now.
You know?
This is not 1800s, 2016. Yeah. Get with the program.
Exactly. Well, Dad,
if you're not getting with the program, you're mentally ill.
Absolutely. I brought a couple applications from teenagers that have recently joined the youth corps. And this is just two of many. So this is not all of them. I just grabbed two of them. And these are just two of teenagers that have signed up for the youth corps over the holidays. And it's pretty exciting because the youth corps is a division of the Knights Party. And is the age group is between 13 and 17. And they get a username, they get a password, they can then go into the Knights Party Crusaders, and there's an academy on there, online virtual academy, and there's articles and historical articles about America, the foundation of America, biblical foundation articles. I mean, so there's a wealth of information out there that they don't see or read about in the local public school systems, you know, because the public school systems really have turned against traditional white America. And so teenagers are able then get the other side of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, you know, this is the rest of the story. And they get to find and read of what America used to be like, what America can be once again. And these white teenagers, they want to do something. They want to help change America back to what used to be. And so often, you know, as adults, you know, adults become complacent. They just like, well, not much we can do. You know, can't go along with the crowd. I'm going to be dead. But then people don't realize that our children out there, you know, they're going to have to deal with this mess. And it's going to be dealing a lot more of a mess than we can even imagine. People complain about what's going on now. Well, just imagine 15, 20, 30 years when these kids are in their 30s, you know, in their 40s. Boy, you want to talk about mess. There won't be a white America. It just won't exist. You'll have pockets of resistance. You'll have pockets of white America throughout the heartland of America, but nationally it's not going to happen, you know. So you have teenagers that are wanting to do something. They want to get involved. And the Youth Corps is a beautiful division of the Knights Party because, again, it's a outreach program of the Knights. And I got just two applications that teenagers joined over the holidays. One was from...
Well, now, you had more than just two over the holidays.
Yeah, oh, yeah, a lot more. Right. I just grabbed two folders.
Yeah.
That's all I did. I just grabbed two at random. I don't, you know. But these are just representation. But this is from an Amanda from California, okay? She's in the 11th grade, okay? And so, again, here's a white girl in California that's a majority non-white, you know. The state.
And feeling scared.
Yeah, becoming scared. You know, she don't know what's happening. And on her application, she says, our race is becoming the minority. So she even knows that. She acknowledges
it's
that.
It's pretty obvious that it is.
Yeah. I believe our race needs to take a stand. I believe in it, and I believe we need to unite. God bless America. I mean, that is pretty revealing from 11th grader, you know, who can see the destruction of America. She wants to do something about it. She don't know what to do. She feels helpless. Oh. And again, only in 11th grade, you know, what does her future lie for her? You know, is she going to able to remain in California, or is she going to be able, or is she going to just be stuck in California? You know, does her parents believe like her, or they don't believe like her? If her parents do believe like her, are the parents going, when they retire, they move off and leave her in California, you know? Right. Or do they just are total liberals and she feels isolated? Because that happens a lot, you know? So that's just one girl. I mean, that's a girl from California.
And joining up is, it may be, well, I know it is. Because without this connection she's going to get now to the Youth Corps Academy and so on, she'll be just left alone there. And whether her faith could remain strong, you don't know.
Right.
You know, because a lot of people have ideals in life and so forth. And at some point, they compromise and they lose them. You read about the Saul, the king of Israel. As a young man, he was a very righteous man, a very humble man. But somewhere along the way, he slipped. And so this young girl... And others like her, they have these feelings concerns, but without a connection to their life purpose, they could slip and they could be lost.
Right.
And yet, by joining up with the Knights, she's going to get information, she's going to get encouragement, she's going to see hope.
Right.
And so people need to understand, people who support the Knights need to understand that we're, in a sense, a missionary program out to our people who are lost.
Yeah.
And we're giving them direction, we're giving them hope, we're showing them the pathway back to the graces and the blessings of God again.
And these outreach programs, the Youth Corps is just one of many outreach programs. That's why it's vitally important that, you know, listeners out there, associates out there, they get behind the Knights. Get behind. Give your tithe. Give your support. Yes, we like your membership, $35 a year. Yes, we appreciate it. We enjoy it. It helps out, But, if you go to a regular church every week, Judeo-Christian, you're giving $40, $50, $60, $80 a week, and all that church is doing is promoting white genocide. If you have non-whites going to your church, they're promoting white genocide. If they have outreach programs to Africa and Asia, they are promoting white genocide. And so what you need to be doing, stop sending money to your enemies. Stop sending money to those that are trying to destroy your race and destroy your children. And start giving the tithe to the Knights. Start giving those money to the outreach program of the Youth Corps.
Or they could donate to the Christian Revival Center.
Christian Revival Center.
And make it a tax-deductible gift to the Christian Revival Center.
Absolutely.
Because we are promoting the gospel of the good news. The good news of white Christian revival, which most churches, the vast majority of churches, I could almost say every church, but there are some like ours, so we're not saying every church. We're not saying we're the only ones. There are many, many, many churches throughout the country who are holding fast to the truth. But the vast majority of churches have totally sold us out, totally embraced multiracialism, multiculturalism, have become increasingly soft on sodomy. And why people want to give their tithe to these churches? Because I have met people who are good Christian people who were supporters of the Knights, for somehow they feel, well, I go to church, so I should give them my tithe. And yet, why, if that church is not going to promote the ideals of our people, or not going to promote what we consider the ideals and values that are taught by Jesus Christ himself, if they're not going to promote the church that you're sending your tithe to, if it's not supporting white Christian revival, then why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? So support the Knights or send your tithe to the Christian Revival Center. Listen to our church service every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock Central, 12 noon Eastern Time at ChristianRevivalCenter.net. And they listen to live church broadcasts. This is not just something spoken for the internet. This is a real church, a real congregation, and you can listen to our live church broadcast every Sunday and support the ideals and the programs of taking this message of hope and deliverance to our people.
Well, absolutely. And when you send that money, and think of the girl Amanda in California.
Yeah.
You're helping her out from realizing that homosexuality is wrong. You're helping her out realizing that race mixing is wrong. I mean, you are trying, you're securing a future for her. And that is vitally important. I mean, it's ultimately, how much do you really love your race? It really comes down to that. If you can spend, going out, eat one meal a month, $30, $40, you have enough then to send extra to the Christian Revival Center to have a child out in California.
And if we are traditional churches like you see on TV, Amanda could come on TV and give her testimony.
Right.
And
but she can't.
We're in a different situation. Yeah. We can't put Amanda on TV. I wish we could.
Right.
But we can't put Amanda on the internet and give her testimony, because we're not going to let her be a target of this hatred out there.
Right.
So we can't quite do that. But trust, Amanda's out there, and there are thousands of Amandas. out there who are looking for hope, and we have to be able to reach them. The more we have to be able to reach them and get out to them and get them this message, and we do that through advertising, through a billboard, through literature distribution, through a radio broadcast. We have to reach out to these people. The Bible says the fields are white of the harvest. And we have to reach out there and touch the hearts of our people. And we can only do it by the friendship and generous support of our members and our supporters and people that are members of our church and media church.
Here's another member from Kentucky named William. He actually joined on January 1st. So he's starting out the year great, 2016. He's 10th grade. 10th grade, Kentucky. 10th grade. And this is what he wrote. Says, I believe that enough time has passed with minimal resistance to degeneracy and impediments to the higher race. I and a number of frustrated Americans need to stand up to halt the awful, unholy annihilation of white Christian heritage, a nation where there is so much diversity concerns me greatly, and I'm not ready to let it form without a serious struggle. Organizing to assist in preserving white heritage is a very important, needed action in the greatest nation there ever was and will be. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
William from Kentucky. Who knows what the future lies for William? 20 years from now, William could be in a state legislator, you know, fighting for white Christianity.
Absolutely.
You never know.
Yeah.
You know, with the balkanization of America.
He'd be the man standing up and saying no to the federal government.
Absolutely.
We're not going to take your dictates any longer. We stand here in a free and independent state of Kentucky.
Absolutely. Because it's happening. Balkanization of America is happening. People are saying we are no longer going to follow the orders of the federal government. They have betrayed our people.
And it's happened before. That's what our founding fathers did in 1776.
Yeah.
They got to the point and said, listen, Britain, King George, the answer is no.
Yeah, we passed legislation. We're no longer part of Great Britain. We are a new nation. We're the United States of America. And you no longer have jurisdiction over us.
No.
Bye. I mean, it's basically that simple.
Yeah.
You know, of course, they have a war and stuff like that. But it got to that point. And so...
And then people thought, just like then, people thought they could never win a war against Great Britain. I mean, this country is powerful. The soldiers were not only well-trained, they were experienced.
Great Britain.
Yes.
Yes.
And what do we had here? A bunch of farmers?
Right.
And the farmers had guns, and the farmers could shoot a squirrel, maybe run across a tree limb. But the one thing the farmers did not have is the experience, because a trained soldier could have a comrade get shot at his next to him, a bullet fly through his brains and fall on his feet, and a trained soldier, an experienced soldier, doesn't flinch, he continues forward. But a farmer who never had that experience, when his buddy, his brother-in-law, his neighbor got shot in a battle, it freaked him out.
Right.
And that is what we had, but God, through that, brought us through. Like Patrick Henderson, why stand we here under our brethren already in the field?
Well, and, you know, before even the Declaration of Independence, you know, I believe it was 13 years, I could be 13 or 14 years, that there was talk about leaving Great Britain. I mean, it was not like overnight they said, hey, let's leave Great Britain. They were talking about for 13 years. Samuel Adams, you know, he was talking about, you know, leaving Great Britain for 13 years, 14 years.
That's why it's called the Father of the Revolution.
Before it was even popular. You know, he could see what was happening.
Yeah.
And he was like, let's leave. You know, we don't need this.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it takes a long time for people to get frustrated. So, you know, this child.
Which is critical mass.
Critical mass. So, William, Kentucky, 10th grade. You know, and Kentucky is changing. You know, Kentucky's not like it used to be. And so who knows what the future lies for William. But, I mean, I thought that's pretty revealing what he wrote.
Yeah.
I mean, most adults nowadays come and write something like that, you know, who don't even see the problems. But here's a 10th grader who truly, I believe, has been touched by God, you know, that sees what's happening. And we don't know 20, 30 years from now, what impact William could have on his fellow Kentucky citizens.
Right. You know, and same with Amanda. Amanda over there in California, 11th grade girl over there. We don't know what kind of future she has.
You know?
She could have a dynamic future in this movement. She might have a dynamic future as spokesman, or she might have a dynamic future as being a powerful supporter. She might become a wealthy CEO of some company and give massive support to the Knights and to the White Christian Revival, because that's needed too. You know,
absolutely.
You can look at these people running for politicians and so on. You know, they get massive support from corporations and from foundations like the Ford Foundation and so forth. So there's all kinds of things people can do in this movement if they just realize the power that the voice of White Christian Revival can have on the lives of young kids like William and Amanda.
Well, you know, we've always said that, that we're like an orchestra. Not everyone can be a trumpet. Not everyone can be a cello. Not everyone can be a violin. Not everyone can be a piano. But together, they all make beautiful music. And it's the same thing in the White Resistance. There are people that can be out there publicly. But for the vast majority, they can't, you know. And that is, you know, the heroes are truly those ones that are secretly able to fund the organization to continue their work. Because that is needed. And you're absolutely right, Dad. These vast majority liberal organizations, they wouldn't be able to be successful if they didn't have your Fortune 500 company supporting them.
Or George Soros.
George Soros or something like that. Yeah. He's a billionaire. And so if we have white people out there that have money, that are financially able to become financial partners and contribute, there is so much that we would be able to do as far as reaching our people. Because kids like Amanda and kids like William, they are worthy, you know, to get
absolutely
reached. They are worthy.
I would suggest that anybody who is in a position they think they might want to consider, go to our main page, kkk.bz, like B like Bob, and Z like Zebra, or you can link to it from kkk.com. And along the top on the right-hand side, I believe, it says a word or a message to CEOs. Something of that nature. And take a time, encourage everybody, take time and read that. Even if you're not a CEO, take time and read that. A message to, I think it says a message to CEOs, or something of that nature. You'll recognize it. It's kind of like in a reddish maroon box with the white letters or red letters. A message to CEOs. And take time to read that. I think it'd be very important for you.
Well, you know, it's again, you know, William and Amanda. And these are just two. I just randomly two files I grabbed. But again, I can't stress enough that is an outreach program that everyone out there in the Knights needs to get behind, because they are our future, and that's why we need to continue this fight in 2016. Again, a lot of great opportunities for us in 2016. So many things, activities that the Knights are involved in, that's happening this year. So it's not all doom and gloom.
No. The media wants us to think that. A lot of people want you to think that. The enemy wants you to think that because they want you to give up. But there's hope for our people. And we're going to continue the message. We're going to reach into the hearts and souls of our young people, of other Amandas and other Williams. And we're going to reach our people. And we're going to do it because of people like you who are listening to this program and being the hard effort that everybody throughout the country puts, who are members of the White Resistance. We're going to reach out people with this message of truth and hope and deliverance. So anyway, we're about to the end of this time, Jason. So tomorrow is going to be January 4th.
Yeah.
And so we're progressing to the new year. It'll be Christmas before you know it.
It will. Yeah. Less than 1 year already.
So, anyway, until next time, this is Thomas Robb.
And Jason Bro.
Reminding you to love your God and to love your people.